This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Before we go to Amsterdam to Prof Dion, if you've got to give somebody the award for message of the morning, it's got to go to Carol. Carol says, good morning, Brad. Ek is nog deur die slaap. Thanks for your honesty. I'm doing okay. I'm full of energy. I usually am in the morning. That's probably why they stick me here. I hope your day gets a whole lot better. Goeiemôre, Prof Dion. Is jy deur die slaap? How's it going there in Amsterdam?
Broeder. I'm wide awake. I was
oh, good.
Up bright and early. We have a two-day PhD conference with our students from around the world in the Veluwe. It's a beautiful part of the Netherlands. So I left bright and early, and I'm sitting in the forest.
Wow.
As we speak. It's beautiful.
Wow, it sounds ideal. I'm sitting in the studio in the middle of Belleville. Not very romantic. Yours does sound romantic. I'm looking forward to the day. I'm counting down the sleeps when I can introduce you as the newly appointed university research chair at the Vrije Universiteit in Amsterdam, but I have to wait till September. So I'm just going to tell everybody this is Professor Dion Foster from the Vrije Universiteit in Amsterdam. We chatted around reconciliation a few weeks ago, but I can see, Dion, it's really close to your heart. You want to chat around it again this morning?
Brad, absolutely. So, you know, we've been worshipping in our local little church in Baambrugge, which is just on the edge of Amsterdam. And it's a small little Dutch church. Everything happens in Dutch. Absolutely wonderful community. But because of the Dutch Reformed heritage, they take communion, the Lord's Supper, very, very seriously. So, I mean, I come from a Methodist church background where we celebrate once a month Holy Communion. Mm. Of course, you know, I've worshipped in many Anglican churches where the Mass or the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, will be celebrated every Sunday. But these folks, they would do it once a quarter. You know, the bread and the wine,
wow,
as a reminder of the fact that we are reconciled to God through the sacrifice of Christ, but also as a reminder that because we are reconciled with God, we need to be reconciled with those with whom God is reconciled. Does that make sense? So to be reconciled with God, we need to be reconciled with those with whom God is reconciled. The image which I get of that is, you know, if a mother loves her children and the children are fighting with each other, it becomes very difficult for the mother to love her children as she should, because sometimes there may be family meals where she would want them all to be together, but because this brother and that sister are at war with each other, that becomes impossible. So this church tradition, in the week before we celebrate the Lord's Supper, they warn us. They say to us, okay, next week Sunday, we're going to be taking communion. If there is anything that you need to set right with anyone this week, go and do it. Oh my goodness, Brad.
That's a good one.
So I actually read the passage on which that's based, and I'd like to share that with our readers. Matthew 5, 23 and 24 says, if you are offering your gift at the altar and remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift and first go and be reconciled. You know, that just really struck me, and I thought to myself, my goodness, I wonder how often I have been disobedient, taken this gift of reconciliation far too lightly, and just sort of wandering through the world as if, you know, I'm okay and you're okay and there's nothing that needs to be done. So I really, you know, in the week leading up to communion, really was praying about this and saying, Lord, what is there that I need to be doing to be a reconciler? Is there anyone who has something against me? Now, that's interesting to note in the passage. It doesn't start by saying, is there anyone that you have something against? But is there possibly something that you could have done to anger another? So I had to sit down and say to myself, you know, what were the comments like that I gave to my students on their theses and essays? What are my relationships like with my neighbors? Is it possible that I could have done anything to cause someone else to stumble, to be not in a relationship of reconciliation with me. And that process of just thinking through my daily relationships, the ways in which I relate to others, caused me to have to go to one or two people and to say, you know, I realize that that comment that I made, you know, that could have been hurtful or dismissive or not taken seriously what you're facing. I had to go to Megan and say, you know, my darling, I'm so sorry. You know, I was busy under pressure, and you shared something with me, and I didn't stick with it. I didn't listen deeply enough, you know. So, Brad, maybe just to say to our listeners in today, these things matter, and they matter because they matter to God. You know, God wants to be reconciled with us, and God is reconciling with others, and for that reason, we need to be reconciled with one another. So maybe there's a listener today who's listening, and you know, things might be going a little bit tough. The truth is, this is not easy work. It requires a measure of maturity and courage within the self, but also wisdom. You know, there are certain instances where just to go to a person and say, "Oh my goodness, I'm sorry," there may be a lack of wisdom in that. That may not be the right thing that's necessary to restore a relationship. You know, maybe trust needs to be won in a different way. Or maybe the reason that there is this lack of reconciliation is because, as we read in Matthew 18, that person has something that you can hold against them. So we need to figure that out. But Brad, just to say, let's hold this before us. Let's take it very, very seriously. The gift of God that we want to offer is the gift of our lives. And if there is anything between us and someone else that prevents us from bringing that gift fully, let's try and set it right in this week.
Wow, that's beautiful. Dion, do we take communion too lightly that we don't do this? I mean, the instruction is very clearly there, and particularly if we're having communion perhaps every week, is it just become routine, perhaps? Do we not take it seriously enough? I don't know.
Brad, you know, you're absolutely right. So, I mean, in some senses, you know, I think particularly for those churches that do celebrate these sacraments, communion, baptism, and of course, we know our Catholic, Anglican, Orthodox sisters and brothers, they have seven sacraments. These are very, very important things, not necessarily because of what they are per se, but because of what they represent. You know, the image I often use with my students is I say to them, I wear a wedding ring. And of course, the ring itself is something precious. I mean, in my case, my wedding ring is made from a black coconut.
Oh, my
So
goodness.
I don't have a gold wedding ring. So in terms of its actual value, it's not precious, but the thing that it represents, you know, 32 years of marriage,
Wow.
A commitment to my wife, that makes it incredibly precious. And to devalue that, I wouldn't just give it away to someone else. To devalue that, to underrecognize it, I think, you know, we do a loss to the sacraments. In the same way, you know, I take care of my ring. I make sure I know where it is. I keep it on my finger. We should, I think, be doing the same with our sacraments.
That's the voice of Professor Dion Foster. That scripture reference comes from Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Just in case you want to go and have a look at that yourself to get your morning going. Dion, you're in for a busy day by the sounds of things, sitting there in the forest. Just be careful of teddy bears having their picnic, and we'll catch up with you again next week.
Thanks, my friend. God bless you. Bye then.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.